You're listening to a podcast made the Johnsonville way.
Hey everyone, welcome to Off the Clock, a podcast made the Johnsonville way. And oh my goodness, do we have quite the show for you today. Today, you have Abby hosting with a special guest.
Hi, this is Mark Bennett.
And we will be taking over the Off the Clock podcast for the day. We have some really exciting stuff going on. But Mark, how are you today?
I'm doing well. We stole all their equipment.
Yes.
And we've taken over this room. They don't know that we've taken all of this and that we're doing this by ourselves. So it's great.
Thank you, maintenance, for the duct tape and the chairs to put them in the closet. We appreciate that.
Very wonderful.
Yeah, it was great. All right. So let's just dive right in here, you guys. We've got Dave and Keith on our podcast today. So if you guys wouldn't mind introducing yourselves and tell us a little bit about what you do here at Johnsonville.
Hi, I'm Keith. I'm line four pack, was previously line three, front of the line operations, and I want to go do R&D at some point.
Very cool. When did you start?
I believe I started as staff in late 2013, August, and then I got hired on in 2016, October.
Very cool. Dave?
Hi, I'm David. I am line three pack at Meadowside, backup x-ray operator. I have been here since April 4th, 2018, and I'm looking at going into IT.
Awesome.
Taking active steps into IT. Very active steps. He's doing it. He's living the dream.
There's a sense of motivation among these two that's like very palpable across the table here.
Absolutely. Yeah. So active steps, tell us a little bit about that.
Going to LTC, working on getting my associate's degree for, I believe the term is Applied Computer Sciences and Information Technology Network Specialist.
There you go.
Awesome. He hacked a computer the other day.
Stop that. Stop that.
On purpose by somebody who asked him to.
Well, you were just doing right by this person, and I mean, that their motives were positive and not nefarious at all.
It was a friend of mine who inherited a computer from a deceased relative, and they didn't have the password to get into it, and they wanted to be able to safely wipe whatever data was on it so that it couldn't be used, and I made them able to do that.
Feels like noble work.
I was going to say, that sounds absolutely legitimate right there.
Still something I shouldn't be talking about.
Well, either way, it was a big learning experience, and he's learning a lot about it, taking courses on it and doing great.
Absolutely.
So, Keith, what's intriguing to you about R&D?
I have strangely been obsessed with science and food science since I was young. Like, that sounds weird, like being 11 years old and just anything that I could read about food science I had to devour. No pun intended.
We saw it open up. We saw your eyes kind of glimmer like, oh, okay, I see what I did there.
So anything in specific?
Egg and food science, I don't know, it just... It intrigues me. It weirdly gets me heated up. Mm-hmm. Like if we start talking about genetic modification or microbiology, I will fight people over it. And I don't know why. I'm just built that way. Let's not, you know, look too far into it.
Do you like cooking? Things like that?
Yeah,
or
yeah,
is it
I
more
like
just like the
arts,
product itself? Okay.
It's more, in this case, it's more the background and science of it.
Okay.
Awesome.
That is very cool.
I remember when I've been here 2 years now, and the concept of someone called meat scientist kind of it never really dawned on me that that was a thing, and it's pretty impressive that that's a thing.
Not only look at that, but you look at the career path, and one of the things you need to get higher up in ID is become a master of meat. That is what it's called, the master of meat.
Master of meat.
That's not enough motivation right there.
Just to have that title?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Like
I
mean, a printed out diploma on my wall, Master of Meat.
That is a poster size diploma that you put on your wall.
It wasn't that it's big like when
a fat
they gave
head.
It to
like
me.
You get a fat head, and it just your entire wall just says "Master of Me." That's a very enviable business card.
I agree.
So that's Johnsonville's story. We are extremely excited about your off-the-clock story. And we're not going to divulge what that is. We're going to let you guys tell us what you guys like to do, what you're passionate about in your spare time.
Beating each other up with sticks.
let me paraphrase a little bit. We, like a bunch of nerds, put on sparring gear and beat each other up with glowing nerd sticks.
Perfect. Love it.
Lightsabers.
And what is this called? Like, if we were to try to look this up, what would we look up?
There's a number of different flavors for it. You can call it LARPing in a way, because sometimes we have beat each other up with full LARPing weapons and have considered throwing on costumes, joining games. However, there's not really a very good active game system around presently that doesn't just let you win with cheap shots and like little love taps, which kind of bothers me. I'm in it because I like the actual swordplay of it.
Mm-hmm.
But you could also technically call it a form of martial arts, or proper term is HEMA. I don't remember what that stands for, but
and LARPing stands for live action role playing.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Very cool.
Very cool. How long have you guys been doing this?
David's been doing it longer.
Start with him. He's newer than I am.
or how about this? Let's rephrase it. How did you guys get involved in this?
As a kid, I just really liked swords, and I found a couple of friends that also liked swords, and throughout the years, I spent time practicing with various levels of weaponry I've used. When I was a kid, I started with sticks, just kind of waving them around like a fool.
Mm-hmm.
Then at one point, I got was real, real excited about it. I got my first piece of live steel. It was one of those decorative, like, shelf katanas.
Mm-hmm.
It survived its first time being used for sparring, which was a really dumb idea. The second time, it did not. The blade buckled, and it just kind of...
Oh, okay.
So now, this has brought on a question. You said live steel. So now I assume that there's various levels of weaponry?
Yes, you've got... LARPing uses a lot of foam or latex weaponry. It's soft, squishy. If I had brought one, I could probably sit here wailing on him. It hurt a little bit. It might sting, but the chances of me saying, breaking a bone of his, slim to none unless I smack him in the ribs. Then you've got hard plastic stuff that's used for a lot of form, technique, and general sparring in martial arts, in which case they're still wearing full gear because it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
They also make wood stuff that for that as well. Mm-hmm. And then live steel. A lot of cases, live steel is a blunted steel weaponry.
Right.
It's still very much an actual sword.
Mm-hmm.
Still has a point, although, again, blunted. But you're not going to be practicing a lot of, say, thrusts with that because it's still a chunk of steel. You could kill somebody. You could kill somebody without hitting somebody with the edge of one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you've got actual battle-ready stuff, which if you're not wearing full armor and you're playing with battle-ready weaponry, you're probably stupid. Because it's sharp, it's painful, it can and will kill somebody if you hit them in the right spot, or not even in the right spot, because I'm sorry. We're talking like swords and battle axes and stuff like that. That's, while it's cool, it's
very
dangerous.
Yeah.
It does feel like, and before when you guys came in, you showed us this big fencing helmet and all these different protective gloves. It does feel like safety is, for what you described as a bunch of people beating each other up with sticks, it does feel like safety is a very high paramount that you guys
keep
up to. So, I mean, talk to us a little bit more about that and kind of how you guys manage. So you guys are in the woods playing with swords. How do you guys manage each other's safety? How do you ensure that everybody is having a good time and being safe at the same time?
Well, as was earlier mentioned, I managed to break one of his fingers.
That's when I finally got the gloves.
But as it stands, generally speaking, you want to make sure you're wearing protective gear because nobody wants to get hurt. And if you do accidentally go too hard or whatnot, generally speaking, this is something you don't normally just do with just two people. You're going to want somebody else watching to make sure that there's no injuries, or like say that the two people having their bout get really angry at each other and then suddenly they're trying to kill each other. You need somebody there to break it up, or at least help further safeguard the safety.
Yeah.
And and if you get into competitive martial arts, there's a rep for that, but that's a bit different. At that point, you're bringing points and scoring into it as well. But still, gear is one of the biggest ways to be safe. Another thing is technique is very important, because you almost have to know as much how to take a blow as to deliver one. Because if you say you swing the sword wrong, you could really mess up your arm.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't react to receiving a blow mm-hmm. right, you've done nothing to cushion that impact.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So are you guys a part of, like, a community then?
Yeah, I was going to say there are liability issues, too, as far as safety. If you get enough people together doing this, all of a sudden you've got a group that somebody is responsible for or will be seen as responsible for if something happens.
Mm-hmm.
I practice every Sunday with a swordplay instructor who learned his stuff in the Royal Navy, which apparently still teaches swordplay. Hmm. Was it Royal Navy or Royal Army?
British Royal Armory.
Mm.
Oh. Okay. Wow.
Whoa.
Right.
Okay, so Abby's question, though, is so it sounds like there is a community of people that are all
yes.
part of this.
Yes, there's actually quite a few different communities
sure.
that are part of it.
Is it all in Sheboygan area?
Some of it yes, some of it no.
Yeah.
If you go for more of the live weaponry and, like, historically accurate stuff, you're looking for something like the SEA, which they tend to be more out of more urban centers or organized places. We are not personally part of the SEA because...
What does that stand for?
Let me Google that.
Okay. You can keep talking, of course.
And you've got various other small groups. There's also LARP communities. There's actually a LARP system that's nationwide that's based out of Sheboygan. Personally, I'm not a fan of the system, but it's called LARPCraft.
Yeah, my cousin made that.
And I will still not.
Now he's abandoned it.
So what you guys are doing is not what we would traditionally call LARPing. So when we Googled LARPing before this recording, and in the movie Role Models, which we both said that we've watched, which I'm sure you guys have watched before, we know LARPing as people who prescribe a certain character amongst
yes.
themselves. They create storylines. It's typically a medieval fantasy type
yes.
of thing. Is that, are you guys a departure from that?
Right now, yes. There was a system that I was actually kind of active in, but that was more of a post-apocalyptic modern setting for LARPing. Whoa. That system
I'm really intrigued in that. Sorry.
has since then disbanded, so I can't really, there's no more details to give on it. It's gone.
Oh, that's so disappointing.
Like
that sounds kind of fun.
Like the apocalypse.
Yes.
Like we actually used some of the nicer laser tags set up for the firearms in it. One person had a Nerf gun that was hilarious. It was basically a grenade launcher.
Oh.
And then some of us that were the, basically the, how do I want to word this, technologically declined would still run around with, like, swords or other pieces of
sure.
mm-hmm.
stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, as I said, there's LARPCraft. They are. I want to say they're a good system, but you still run into a lot of kids that are just there to play a game, and they'll like love tap somebody
mm-hmm.
like 1,000 times, and that's congratulations, you're dead. And that's well, I'm one of those people that could prescribe to death by 1,000 cuts with a rapier or an epi. That's not going to fly against somebody wearing full plate armor.
Or you have people in that system that are just jerks. Like, they're not even caring about points. They're just like, how can I hurt somebody?
You mean like your cousin?
I love it.
No offense. I'm not too big a fan of the way your cousin ran things.
Oh, a lot of people weren't. But yeah, you'll have people who just, you know, try to sweep the legs or something like that with the blade and just...
Uh-huh.
Thwack you in the shin just to be a jerk.
And then you have to go down to your knees, right? Yep. Like, if you get hit like that?
Generally speaking, yes.
Okay.
You're supposed to play to the injuries, but not everybody does. And that's one of the things that made me kind of disillusioned and disheartened about it. I myself prefer a more full contact system.
Mm-hmm.
But again, still safety in mind. If you're going to do a full contact system, you need to make sure that your gear is up to snuff. If you're using LARP weapons or boffers, you need to make sure that they're of decent quality,
mm-hmm.
that they're not in damage or disrepair,
mm-hmm.
because there's a in a lot of LARP weapons, there's a solid core inside there,
mm-hmm.
covered by all the foam and stuff, and you want to make sure that that can't accidentally pierce someone.
Makes sense.
How did you get involved with this, Keith?
This guy. I think it was 2 years ago now. He showed up to my birthday party, and it's like, I don't have a present. Here's a lightsaber that I got.
There's a bit more of a backstory to that. It was when he and I both first started as a staff management so long ago. I had him over to my house one day, and we were just kind of sitting around drinking. All bad stories start with alcohol. and
good story.
We just started beating each other up with foam swords.
Sure.
Yeah. I could see that as being fun.
As sometimes this happens.
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah, so back on safety, we don't really care necessarily if we bloody or bruise each other.
It's more
the serious injuries that we're concerned about, which is why, you know, the first time we went out with swords, we didn't have any protective gear, and I had never done any of this before. So he gave me a bloody lip and a bruised rib.
Basically, it was a matter of, all right, so you've never done this before. I will match whatever level of contact you will play at. I'm going to inform you, I'm probably better at this than you. And so he started swinging at me full force, so I swung at him full force. And
that was your first lesson.
And I did not complain, but I was kind of addicted from there on. And then it was, you know, when we got into a larger group of people who, you know, had their money and liability on the line, that it became, you know, okay, now that, you know, hitting sort of a sword or foam swords is good enough and all that, but, you know, what happens if you have a hard piece of plastic and you crack it across my knuckles? Well, as I learned, that'll break your finger.
Huh.
And so the thing we want to avoid, I don't think we care about the small injuries as far as safety. It's, you know, poking an eye out or breaking
bones,
something.
Or right. Making anything that'll leave a scar.
Right. I mean, at the end of the day, you're playing a contact sport.
Yes.
Yeah.
Precisely.
So there's risk inherent with any contact sport.
Yeah.
You throw a football around. I mean, you're playing anything
liable to get your bumps, bruises, and scrapes.
Right. But, right.
You know, even with football, you get a serious injury. That's all bets are off. It's time to stop.
Yeah.
Yep.
Of course.
Tend the injury. Make sure that there's no real damage, as we figured when I accidentally busted his finger.
John Hartley, my sword instructor, is missing an eye.
There's a weird smile that comes across your face every time you mention breaking his finger.
Like, you guys aren't, like, competitive at all.
Not so much that I'm, like, proud of it. It's more of the, it's the smile of, yeah, I goofed. That's a funny memory. I'm going to shelf that.
Not that funny of a memory. My bone is still healing.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. And you know what? It got you to buy gloves. So,
yeah.
Progress.
Ooh, silver lining. Look at that. Now you're more prepared.
That's hard love.
That's hard love. Yep, that's good. The closest thing I can have to anything relating to this is I walked into a kid's birthday party. It was like a festival, so they had all those like air balloon weapons that you could win. And I walked into this like group of like seven kids that were all part of this birthday party that I was invited to that wasn't like I was an adult. But I walked in with my weapon thinking I was all cool and I was just going to kick these kids' butts. I got just denied. Like, the plastic knobs on where you blow them up, I think I got hit by every single one of them. Like, I had scratches all over my face, and these, like, little seven-year-olds are, like, running around, like, with their arms in victory, and I'm like, bad choice.
Always fear the horde. Yeah. Always fear the horde.
Yeah. Yes.
Never underestimate the strength of a seven-year-old.
Yeah, never. No.
Especially when they come in numbers.
Yes.
Especially when they come in numbers. So what's the biggest misconception about the things that we call them hobbies? Are you calling them hobbies? I want to call it the right thing. What do you guys call it?
Hobbies
a hobby?
Yeah.
What's the biggest misconception about these hobbies, whether it be sword play, LARPing, these types of things? Because I think if you're this is a niche thing that you guys do, which means that a majority of people on the outside might look at that and create their own conceptions about what that is or who you guys are. You're talking to a broad audience of people here that have no idea what this is. What do you want them to not assume?
Probably that it doesn't take skill, because I've been gradually learning over the past few years, and I can tell you I still have a long way to go. There's a lot to learn. It's not just swinging your arms around wildly. Mm-hmm. You know, if you do that, anybody with skill will easily defeat you.
Mm-hmm.
That's mine.
Yeah. I guess my biggest misconception to bring up would be that not everybody that does something like that is just another Joe Schmo nerd D&D player. Like, there are some people that actually take it seriously and treat it as a martial art, and as such, it's
right
can be a very respectable thing. And there are even people in the LARP community that do it.
There are competitions with drama and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there are people who are notorious for being just awful, awful participants who will, you know, basically be the sweep the leg guy from Karate Kid.
Cobra Kai, yeah.
You know, it's like they'll, you know, lift you up and throw you on the ground when it's not allowed, and then it's like, you got a point, yeah, but did I win?
Yeah, it definitely feels like there's a martial art to this, and you guys are treating it with a reverence that maybe
don't.
For some of us, we look at it, we're like, well, there's a lot of people that are dressing up in costumes. There's nothing wrong with that. But you guys seem to take it a little bit more seriously.
Yes and no. Like, there's I myself kind of do want to get into a lot more of the costuming stuff. It's just I myself don't like half steps and half measures, so if I'm going to costume, I'm going to do it right. I'm going to be the guy showing up with actual full plate armor and, like, or in the case of Star Wars stuff, showing up with, like, full robes, kitted out in, like, the full robes and stuff like that for like, say, a Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because...
Go big or go home.
Yeah, go big or go home. I myself am a nerd, even though I say that's one of the biggest misconceptions about it, is that not everybody is a nerd. He's not exactly a nerd. He is, but
I am.
But he's not
like,
getting involved.
It feels like
from
we're living in a time when the word nerd doesn't necessarily have a negative connotation to
it. No.
In fact, I think nerd culture is kind of the norm in a lot of ways.
You know, in a way, everybody's a nerd.
Right.
From the mechanic, who's basically just a car nerd, to
you guys are podcast nerds.
That's right.
There you go. Yep.
It's just like, what are you into? Like, you,
yeah.
Yeah. This is the thing that you guys are into. It's great.
Whatever moves somebody they're passionate about, they're a nerd in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right, but there are different levels of commitment for sure. There are people who are in it for more maybe of a gaming aspect, or
there are people who live it.
A nerd aspect, or people who, you know, at some point I had to commit to actually getting good at this, because I was going to the practice every now and then and getting my butt kicked. And then at some point I decided I want to actually be good at this. It's not an important thing, but I really want to be good at this. And I haven't looked back, because it's been made me really happy.
That and there's also the possibility of, even like with LARPing or with martial arts, there's a possibility of putting on stage performances for charity and whatnot, which is kind of my motivation for trying to get good at it, because I want to do some good with it.
That's awesome.
That's very cool. It's very awesome. I didn't realize that would be, it makes absolute sense. It is kind of like a theatrical type thing, and that plays right up a good alley.
The people I train with, they go down to the Joliet Library in Chicago, and they do a Star Wars Day there, and they raise money for cancer research, putting on shows for kids. So yeah, there are a lot of avenues you can go down.
That's really cool.
Absolutely.
So in addition to the fencing helmet, we also saw your handiwork, and we'll post a picture of this, but can you explain what we were looking at? It's a mask.
Yeah, it's a half shell mask that covers the lower part of the face. It's, if you think of, like, say, a samurai, how they, with their in addition to their helmets, they've got this mask that they wear. That's
I definitely got a Shredder vibe. I got a Shredder vibe
it's
from
almost
Teenage
for
Mutant.
The sole intent of being intimidating.
Yeah.
Now, me personally, I made it because I ride motorcycles, and I have to have something to keep the bugs out of my teeth. But
dual purpose.
Yeah.
I like it. There we go.
Kill two birds, right?
Yeah.
Intimidation,
exactly.
Bugs. Got
exactly.
It.
But the mask came from the inspiration of, well, a lot of warriors have this, either this reputation or this image that they carry into battle. And somebody has to make that.
Mm.
Be it if it's a reputation, then the warrior makes that. But if it's like an image or some gear that they're wearing that gives them their image and their reputation and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
somebody else made that because mm-hmm. most warriors aren't going to take the time to sit down at a forge or sit down and woodwork and whittle a wooden mask. Yeah. Some mm-hmm. some might. It's important to be well-rounded. Even in ancient culture, there's a concept of a warrior poet or philosopher, whatever you want to call it.
So how did you make this?
I started with I cut out the pattern for the teeth out of a piece of I want to say 16 gauge galvanized weld steel.
That's what you got, yeah.
And then I used two layers of aluminum sheeting under that with the little grate pattern on it, and then I held it all together with rivets and covered it in this leather-like acrylic.
Can you describe what? Can you like in an audio describe what we're looking at?
Yeah.
It's like a Cheshire grin.
There we
go. It is. Yes. Yes.
It's like the Cheshire cat, but it's in Mad Max.
Yes. Exactly. Oh, my gosh. I don't know.
Meets Disturbed.
You're mad?
Oh, my.
That's really good. So how much more are you making other things like that?
At some point, yes. I've got a friend that actually sits down and tries to do some of it with me, but we're right now sort of on hiatus until we get more proper tools and
mm-hmm.
more practice. But as soon as he and I are a bit more well-versed in it, we're actually probably going to start selling stuff.
I was just going to ask. Like, it seems like something that the more you do, the better you get. The more people see it and want it, it can become, you know, something you do.
There's people that want the stuff as, like, inspirations for bands. Like,
mm-hmm.
Keith here wants me to make a mask inspired by one of his favorite bands called Demon Hunter. It's basically going to be this, like, demon skull with horns and such. But that's a project that definitely needs to wait until I'm a lot better because I'm not going to... He wants to pay for it, so I'm not going to give him something half-assed.
Yeah.
Keith had a huge smile on his face when you mentioned the band Demon Hunter. Like, they're... you could tell it means a lot to him.
Or
and can you imagine doing LARPing in that mask?
I'm kind of terrified thinking about it. I'm just like, oh my gosh.
Direction is what I would do.
I'm out.
But yeah, even for other costumers, if they see good quality work, they'll pay for it. So it's good to be able to make stuff, and it's also fun, and it's handy.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So I'm going to sidetrack for 1 second because I had a thought come across when you're talking about your mask and how terrified I got. I started thinking about what would I do in this world. Do the fairies that come and do healing, do they get killed too? Or would I just be like this magical like little, hey,
I feel better. Like you might have jumped like 5 steps forward. Like what are you referring to? Because you and LARPing. I spent 15 minutes watching a LARPing 101 video, but no one
battle.
It depends. If you're in a LARP game and you get downed, your buddy's got to drag you back to camp or try to heal you on the spot. If they try to heal you on the spot, then the healer could get killed.
Oh.
And then the healer's got to get dragged back to camp, and if you get total party killed or whatever, I honestly couldn't tell you what happens. I've not had it happen.
I have a lot of LARP questions. You guys are doing other things, and I don't want to disrespect mm-hmm. the other things that you guys are doing. But
it's fine.
But we have questions about LARP.
Yeah.
It's fine. I've played.
Okay. We do a lot of things.
Okay. How do you win in LARP?
Yeah.
You finish the objective set forth by the setting of the game.
Okay.
So you have different objectives.
So
each game.
So that was actually another question I had. What are the objectives?
Depends on the setting. Sometimes it's literally just a all-out battle, in which point your goal is to not die and to crush your enemies.
Okay.
Drink from their skulls.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Tell me, Keith, what 3 things are best in life? You might not
want to crush your enemies, to see them driven before you, to hear the lamentations of their women.
Oh, my gosh.
To directly quote Conan.
Oh, my goodness. Do you guys
Conan
like
the Barbarian. If you haven't seen it, you're missing out on a classic.
Wow. So what are, like, generally, like, how many, you have teams, right? Like, you have your group of...
Some things you show up as a party or, like, a guild. Some of it you're just a freelance and a solo. Yeah. But it depends entirely on, again, what the setting is and who you're showing up with. Sometimes there's a greater overarching scheme of things that happens based off of what your general alignment is within the system or your race or whatever.
Okay.
At which point, trying to think back, there was an event at one point. I didn't take part of it, but I've had a good friend that was and it ended up being this massive battle between an orcish horde and a bunch of humans decked out in all their shiny armor and stuff. Mm. As to put it from perspective of my friend who played an orc, mm-hmm. all the humans in their pretty armor and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So, do these people make conscious choices? Like, the setting is orcish horde fights armor clad humans. Do you guys say? Does somebody say, "Well, I'm going to be an orc"?
Generally speaking, you've got your character, or at least with that system, you had your character that you played by. Some people had multiple characters and would pick which character they're dusting off the shelf for it, but for the most part, what your character is what you're playing.
Does everybody go full bore in the character? It feels like you can't really half-ass.
There are some people that do really show up just basically wearing a t-shirt and some green face paint and call themselves an orc, and that's not...
Keith.
Keith is pointing to himself.
There's all kinds of levels of immersion. Some people do go full costume with the kind of stuff you'd expect seeing from a professional cosplayer at a convention.
Right.
And some people, as I said, just show up with green face paint and a t-shirt.
But even then, they're generally into their character, trying to act from the perspective of their character,
right.
mm-hmm. rather than, you know, occasionally saying something in character and then talking about going to Burger King afterwards.
And
you save that for after the game.
Admittedly, there are some people that don't really bother with the immersion, and so they don't. They're there just to play a game and win or cause mischief.
Do you have a different character every time?
I actually only ever had the one character.
Hmm.
I know somebody who played two different ones, but they had one that they favored and put all their work into. There's also a sort of, for that system, there was a method of tracking your character progression online.
Hmm.
Oh, wow.
And, as I said, I don't really play in that system anymore, so.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
From what I've seen, most people have one character, or at least a main character, that they develop over time.
Okay. And what is your character?
My character was a, God, what was it called? They were a sort of like, almost like a half dragon human that was a ranger, dual wielded swords.
Oh, so like a draconian.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Duh.
A draconian.
It wasn't what they called them, but
D&D terminology.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But similar to that.
And when we say D&D, Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
Yes. All right.
Nailed it.
Nice.
Nailed it. That is quite. It's amazing. Like, it's there, and like, even like terminology, like, you have different beans and everything like that. Like, it's just the choices you can make and the things that you do is, it's so creative in a way, you know. Like, I just, my life, when I get done with work, I'm excited when I go for a walk in the woods. I'm like, yeah, this was really exciting. You guys are like sword fighting or like making weapons and, yeah.
No, it is great. There's a sense of community, too. It's like some people go out and have exercise. You know, every Sunday I get together with 3, 5, 6 people, and we all have, you know, a fun session together where, you know, at the end we're sweating and panting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, mm-hmm. if I can get my exercise that way, all the better.
Right.
Yeah. You have a team. Like
camaraderie.
Yeah.
And it's something potentially useful because, say you're in a bank robbery situation and somebody pulls a gun. Congratulations, you've got a sword.
I'll bet on the gun.
Well,
I love.
No, that's not really going to happen, but.
But if it does.
But we love the resourcefulness.
Yes. If it does, good.
If there's a situation and there's a stick nearby, I'm the guy you want around.
Suddenly there's a swordsman. Yes. Well, how do you respond to that?
Yes. Yeah, see?
I feel like your autobiography is going to be called Suddenly There's a Swordman. The David story.
The David story. That's great.
So what do you... Okay, so taking us out of sword plays, taking us out of LARPing, it feels like nerd culture. Let's use air quotes. Because it's like... Or just culture. You know, some of the fantasy, different types of... What are you guys consuming right now? Are you reading certain books or movies? Or what? Like, what is... What are you kind of nerding out on at the moment?
Right now, I've been on a really big cyberpunk kick. I don't know if you know what that is. It's
I don't
think.
Yeah, I don't either.
nitty-gritty future with a lot of cybernetics and technology and...
Is it like a Blade Runner thing?
Blade Runner is actually one of the foremost examples of cyberpunk.
Okay. Yep.
Also, it was an amazing movie.
You got this. You know what you're doing. Yeah.
Altered Carbon is cyberpunk,
not just
too.
A suit.
Oh, yeah, Altered Carbon right now on Netflix for a contemporary example. That's
okay.
A pretty great example of cyberpunk that's popular right now.
I want to say that show is not for the faint of heart. It's a very good watch, but it's messy.
Good to know. I don't mind stuff like that, but it's good to know. Like, you know, I have a cousin over one day, and I'm like, oh, we should watch this. I heard it's great.
That is an interesting thing about Netflix. Like, you feel like you hear great things about certain shows, but then it's like I'm watching a show with my mother-in-law, and it's like, well, this got weird.
It's definitely not a show to watch with your mother-in-law.
This got weird. So that popcorn, I hear it. It's popping.
Yeah, I gotta go.
And then suddenly there was a swordsman.
And then suddenly there's a swordsman.
I went through my list of questions.
So what are you nerding out on? Because you didn't really answer.
Oh, I'm just playing Destiny 2 and reading a series of book called Age of Myths.
Whoa.
It's like a prequel to a pretty popular series of fantasy books. And in this one, basically people are just barbarians. They haven't invented any metallurgy beyond copper yet. And the story is sort of taking place. Now they have to fight the elves. And so somebody gives them the secret to iron, and it's kind of they're even developing writing for the first time at this point. So it's almost like tribal history meets fantasy.
Interesting. Yeah.
I feel like if anybody had any, I'd like a recommendation on a TV show or a book that I might get engrossed. Like, I feel like these guys are foremost. Like, we say we nerd out on things. These guys are like professionals.
Right. Right. Totally.
This is the first time I've ever been referred to as a professional nerd.
Hey.
Well, own it, man. I mean,
was going to say.
It's great. It's awesome.
Now, if you want classics, I can recommend those. I don't have a lot of time for new stuff lately.
And to be honest, you know, to find people that are that passionate about something that is a hobby to them is really refreshing, because so many of us, like a lot of people, just get caught up in their day to day. You get done with work and you have to go home and you got to do this and get, you know, kids. I don't have kids, but I have to get my dog off to get exercise because she's overweight. Like, you just have your to-do list of things that need to get done. It's refreshing having, like, people who are passionate about something outside of work that, you know, you can truly say you're building weapons. You know what I mean? Like, you are learning and
not
growing.
Not building weapons yet. I'm just making masks.
The equipment. The apparel.
But no, I think your point is valid. So you guys are, we could just sense, extremely passionate about these things and actually taking the steps to, like, to get better at it, to understand how it can improve other people's lives. I think that's really cool, and definitely not, I think, if you were on the cover, just look like, what is LARPing? I don't think people look at that and be like, how does that help other people? And you guys have a perception of how it could, which I think is really cool. It's awesome.
Yeah, I never would have thought of the like being able to do benefits and like help raise money. That would never be something that when I would see LARPing that would ever cross my mind,
right.
I guess. So that was really cool to learn about.
Right. So my instructor, John Hartley, recently recovered from cancer, leukemia. Mm-hmm. And during the course of that, he met a lot of people involved in cancer benefits and charity. Mm-hmm. And one of the things he did when he was better or finally off of chemo and had the energy is with his best friend, they dressed up as Sith and Jedi, and then one of the artists from the Star Wars comics drew them a fake or a mock-up of a Star Wars comic book, and then they started selling these prints for $5 each, and it all went to St. Jude's.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
That is very cool.
So cool.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's amazing.
Let's see if I can actually find that for you guys.
Yeah. So, what's your favorite Star Wars movie?
I am very controversial. My favorite would be the first of the of the current new trilogy. The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
I will get destroyed if I post that opinion online, but I don't care. Because I don't look at things through nostalgia glasses. I just look at the quality of the film.
Yeah.
I myself am torn between episode 6 or I want to say episode 3.
So
that was a good one.
That's Return of the Jedi.
Return of the Jedi and which one was what was the actual name for 3?
But that's one of the prequels. So that's one of the
something something the Sith.
Like the Harrison Ford.
I'm not that big of a Star Wars guy.
The prequels is the ones that came in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
The third one.
Yeah. Now that's I mean,
that's also a fairly unpopular opinion, but I liked the really flashy choreography and like the awesome saber work and all that fun stuff. My favorite character actually came from episode 1, though. A fellow by the name of Qui-Gon Jinn.
Jar Jar.
Are you a Liam Neeson fan?
Yes.
There you go.
But no, backstory of the character, I read some of the comic books throughout the, and like novels throughout the series, and Qui-Gon himself was actually pretty crazy. They didn't portray very well how skilled he was with his saber and his particular form of stuff. He's actually a practitioner of the same form as Yoda. Hmm. Whereas Yoda was small and agile and very acrobatic. Liam Neeson used it as a high-energy, momentum-driven sort of, I guess, reactionary form, which is ultimately why he would have lost to Darth Maul, because he was trying to use a high-energy form in a confined space.
Oh.
See, this is why they like they need you to be like a consultant.
No.
Yeah, no, they do, because you actually are reading and consuming outside of the movies into these characters and then able to make reasoned like character decisions for them in the movie. I think you could be a consultant.
You see, Disney now owns the rights to Star Wars, and they're changing things. They don't want a consultant for what was. Otherwise, they would have stuck with George Lucas.
Ah, yes. Look at that. Brings out the reason.
I started this podcast knowing I was going to divulge this into Star Wars talk, and
When you went to Star Wars, look at that left turn.
I'm glad we got there.
I mean,
he wanted Star Wars.
The first time we came to talk to these guys, we brought our sabers with us, brought our saber to the Saucer Support
Center.
That's
right, you did.
And all that. So realistically, it's the lightsaber.
We were a well-defended sausage support system.
I was just gonna ask. I'm like, were you guys like fighting while there was like if there was no calls? Was there sword play or not saber?
There
play?
Was discussion. I recall there being discussion about sword play, and it felt like a very well protected trailer.
That's good. You never know.
Now me, I'm not that much of a Star Wars fan, but. I have to say there are no sword fights or very few in Star Trek, so that's my sort of default.
So you're more of a Trek. You're more of a Trek. Got it.
Yeah, I'm more Trek obsessed.
Do you like the newer movies, or are you like, you know what, give me Shatner?
You know, I don't like either the old series or the new films.
Scorched Earth.
All about that middle of the era stuff. Voyager, Enterprise, Voyager twice. I like it that much.
So
Deep Space Nine and Next Generation.
Okay, so like the TV, like the more the TV programs versus just the
yeah,
right. Okay.
And the, you know, the movies that were spawned from those.
Okay.
TV programs, but the new ones aren't bad or anything. I just see them as big spectacles with not much underlying anything to keep my interest.
Right.
Now. This one had the tall, bald guy, too, right? In it, the Professor X at one point in time. That guy was in it at one point,
that was,
right? What's his name?
Jean-Luc Picard. Patrick Stewart.
That's the guy. That's the one.
Sir Patrick Stewart.
Sir Patrick Stewart.
He was in that show, right?
Yeah.
He was in, yep, was The Next Generation.
I know what I'm talking about.
Well
and
done.
They're making a new series called Picard that's going to be centered around Jean-Luc Picard, I think probably in his early years at the Academy.
Nice. Ah. Do you guys go to conventions?
Not yet. I haven't. That's one thing I haven't done with all of my fellow nerds. I've never been to a convention of any kind, not Comic Con, not Gen Con, or I haven't gone down with the swordplay guys to Joliet to do Star Wars Day, nothing like that yet.
And the reason I asked is we were talking earlier about how nerd culture has kind of become the culture. Mm-hmm. I think Comic Con is probably the preeminent example of that, where you've got movie studios talking about the new movies, they're unveiling trailers. I would be curious to know kind of what your observation or take is on that. Do you look at it and say like a hipster, like, I was here before, it was cool?
No.
Or are you like, this is great for for everybody? They can see what we've been enjoying for so long.
Yeah.
And
It's spreading the wealth.
Good.
Yeah. No, I'm a little bit of a hipster about it.
Well, he's a jerk, so.
So now we need to get a pumpkin spice latte for you?
Yeah. Nothing. Nothing sets me off more than Big Bang Theory. Where they make a Batman reference and then the laugh track goes off and everybody's like, ha, I've heard of Batman.
And you're just sitting there in front of your TV just gritting your teeth. Oh, my God.
No, I don't obsess over it.
Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, you know, I have nightmares about it. No, I just changed the channel, but, you know, in some ways – I find that sort of, I don't know, nerdsploitation annoying.
That is a great word.
It offends me and my people.
Me and my people. Oh, my goodness. This has been, like, the greatest afternoon I've had in a long time. You guys are awesome.
That's good to hear.
I feel like I could continue talking and asking questions for much longer than we have, but it's super interesting to learn more about about this world and help us understand, you know, what maybe we've gotten wrong about it. And it's great that you guys are doing cool stuff with it.
Yeah, absolutely. I've definitely learned things that, to Mark's point earlier, I watch Role Models, and that's probably the most, I guess, exposure I've gotten to it. And it was...
That was a funny movie.
Okay, good. I don't want it to be offensive, but I thought it was hilarious. But to that point, he was like fiercely proud of what he was doing, and I think it's cool when people have that kind of passion for what they enjoy doing outside of their normal day to day.
We're looking at a picture right now of a Star Wars comic book.
That's our mentors done up in comic book form.
Wow,
that's so cool.
That is very cool.
Nick
Hart
must
have meant so much to him.
Nick Klein. The bald guy in that actually works here at Johnsonville too. He's a staff lead, I believe, at Riverside.
Yeah.
But, you know, back to your point, I think everybody's really self-aware that dressing up, even if you're, you know, learning a martial art going back to, you know, centuries and centuries, and you get good at it, you're dressing up and playing. So you can't take yourself too seriously,
right?
Even if you are fiercely proud of, you know, having learned something, having learned a physical skill that really works, and especially that moment when it clicks. But you got to take yourself lightly, because even if the culture is mainstream nerd now, where everybody knows what Star Wars is, and, you know, everybody laughs at the Batman joke on Big Bang Theory, it's still play. Mm-hmm. So you just have to put it in perspective, and some people might not, but you have to.
Well, I really think that's a cool way to look at it, that you guys, you know, that this is for fun. At the end of this is for fun, and you guys are doing this because it's something that you can do outside of work and have fun with it. But at the same time, there's a reverence, and there's an understanding that, like, there are literally centuries of experience here that we're learning from, and the respect that you guys have for that, I think is really cool.
Still no way to make playing dress up sound badass.
If actually, I'm about to.
Okay. Have at it.
You think back to your mention of martial arts and how they're just playing dress up. There's actually a bit of almost a mindset to that as well, and it can be applied to cosplay, or especially the whole HEMA and sword fighting and whatnot. You're donning the garb of an centuries old art of something that is. It's almost like it's tradition. It's an art form that can be very much so weaponized. We're talking martial arts here. But in donning that garb, you were saying, I'm a practitioner of this.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's pretty badass.
It's true. Yeah.
Even centuries old order of the Sith.
Even something as simple as donning like a gi for Taekwondo or Judo, or you know, putting on the martial arts like right. digs. That's, as he just said, that's basically akin to just throwing on a costume. There's still a lot of reason that they have the robes that they use for the martial arts, but that's an entirely different topic.
No, I agree with you, but that's real. I mean, I'm talking yeah. about, you know, the cosplay of something that doesn't even exist.
Ah, but you're donning the mantle of tradition.
You're donning the mantle of pop culture heroes, you know, yeah. the icons we all look up to,
still
I guess.
Still, you just made it sound more badass than you accredited it to.
Oh, fair enough.
All right, guys, thank you so much for taking time to kind of talk to us about your hobbies outside of work here. If you guys wouldn't mind sending us off.
This
is
David
and Keith.
And
you've
been
listening
to
another
episode
of
Off
the
Clock,
a
podcast
made
the
Johnsonville
way.
Way.
Yeah!